Hi, my name is Amber. I'm a compulsive overeater. Thank you, Rich, for asking me to speak. It's always an honor and a privilege. And I really do mean that because service is what keeps me sober. Just to get a little stuff out of the way, just my I came into program in 2005, and I guess rode the roller coaster ride. I got on, I got off, I got on, I got off, depending on what year it was. I came back in 2021, and I started working a sobriety program like I have never, worked it before. And I came in at a higher weight than I was when I first came into program in 2005, which was 242 pounds. I'm down 106 pounds from that weight, and I say that just because I just I feel like that's important because there's a lot of people here who might be struggling with like, when am I gonna, it's never gonna come off or whatever. And it does, if you work the program, it does. And I'm just gonna share my picture. Okay. This is what I looked like when I came in. And that was me a year later. This is pretty much what I look like now. Except I just cut my hair. Yeah, I'm down, and that actually is not my lowest weight is now, actually, that I was still, at a higher weight, but, I'm down 106 pounds from when I came back in 2021. I did restart my abstinence date in 2024 at the birthday party. I relapsed on abstinent food, actually, on non-alcoholic food. And for me, compulsive overeating, I'm a chronic relapser, so compulsively overeating on abstinent food or non-abstinent food, it really does not matter for me. A binge is a binge. So I restarted my time. So I have a little bit, hopefully, God willing, in 2 years, or in January at the birthday party, I'll have 2 years again. Backtracking a little bit, when I came back in 2021, and I say like I came back in because in 2008 I actually started working a really strong program, and I lost my abstinence in like 2011, about 2011, and it took me until 2021 to get it back. And when I mean like that, I say like to come in, like when they say to come in and sit all the way down, I always wanted to come in but still do it my way, and I had a really tough sponsor when I came in. No bullshit, no wasn't gonna sugarcoat anything for me, and I needed that, because my disease was thick and my disease was strong, and I felt like I knew everything, and I didn't, and I think like, a lot, I'm not in AA, but that, they say to, sit down and shut up kind of thing. And that's what I needed to do. I just needed to sit down and listen because I knew nothing. What I knew got me up to 242 pounds. Doing it Amber's way got me up to 242 pounds. So why not just do what someone else says? And I was so beaten down by the disease. I couldn't walk up a couple, a couple stairs without being out of breath. I couldn't take care of myself without it being difficult. Everything was hard. And I was eating so much at night that I was throwing up in my sleep, and I thought I was just going to aspirate and die is really what I thought, because I would eat so much, and then try to wait for it to go down a little bit and then eat some more and then go to bed. And then it would just like, there was just no room. And, so when I came in, I was really beating down. And like I said, I would have done anything. I would have done anything to make the noise stop. And when I came in, I was handed a food plan, and I was also handed a recovery plan. And I did those things every single day. And that was all I did. I did exactly what they told me to do. I ate exactly what they told me to eat, and I did exactly what they told me to do. And yes, that sounded harsh, that sounded whatever, but my disease was stronger. I mean, it was so strong that I needed something that I don't even know what's the word, but I don't want to say rigid, because I don't believe it was rigid, and I don't believe it was strict either. I just needed something that black and white, so my disease did not have any room to grow. And I got one day, and then I got 2 days, and then I got a week. And I was just telling somebody tonight that, like, even though I got a week, even though I got a month or 6 months or whatever, like, it almost like it didn't matter, because I knew relapse could happen at any time. Like, I couldn't let up. I couldn't say, okay, great, I got 6 months, or, oh, this is so exciting. I couldn't even allow myself to feel that, because relapse was so strong in my program, in my story, that I knew that, I'd been here before. So it really wasn't that big of a deal at that moment. And and then I started working the steps, and things started changing. And I have to say, like, where I was at, then to where I am now is very different. I still, the first year, all I could do was stay sober. All I could do was stay abstinent. I worked the program to the best of my abilities. I did service. I showed up. The sponsors that I have had these last 5 years have been extremely service heavy. You want to be in that middle of the herd. You need to know, your herd needs to know who you are. You need to be seen in meetings. So, like, do service. And I've always done a lot of service. I probably have, I know I have, I mean, I have like 5 service commitments. And that just, I mean, it keeps me there. It keeps me coming. If I don't have a service commitment, I'm not going to the meeting. I'm not. I'm sleeping in. I'm doing whatever. Like, I mean, my disease will give me any reason not to go. So when I do service, it makes me show up. And so that's really important in my program. I make outreach. When I came in, I had to make 3 outreach calls, and I had to and they gave me the 3 people to call. So it wasn't even like I knew these people. I didn't, it didn't matter. They told me what to do, and I just followed it. And I met some really great people that way. And then it also allowed me to get comfortable working a muscle that I had not used, which was the telephone, which was picking up that phone when the shit was hitting the fan and saying, I need help, or I need, whatever. And I still remember, like, that first year to 2 years, there was probably about 5 or 6 people that really stood out to me, that, like, when I needed something, when the shit was hitting the fan and I thought I was going to eat, that I picked up that phone and made that call instead. And it saved my life. It really did. This program has saved my life. It has saved my marriage. It has saved me being a mother. I'm a mother. I have three boys. I have a daughter-in-law. I have relationships with these people that if I was not sober, I know that I would not. Pretty much 5 years ago, I pretty much thought that my kids were going to bury me. I mean, sooner than obviously needed to. I don't feel that way today. I mean, obviously anything can happen, but I don't feel like I'm on death row. And I felt that way. That's how I felt. I felt like it could happen any day. Getting back, like I said, I do for my program, I do a lot of service. I make outreach. I just started incorporating exercise. I just ran a 5K, and I know you guys don't know me, but that is pretty miraculous because 6 months ago, my sponsor asked me to exercise for 10 minutes every single day, and I threw a tantrum for about a month because I did not want to exercise every single day for 10 minutes. And so the fact that I'm running a couple days a week is just huge. But that's me. I have to fight it. I have to fight first. I always say, there's somebody in program that says, screw it. I don't want to do it, but I'm going to do it anyway. And that's me. I always have to fight it first. I always have to have my little fit and tantrum and then I put my big girl pants on and I do it anyway. Because this program means everything to me. I'm trying to think what else do I do? I have a sponsor. I do a nightly review. I'm not the best at it. I'm not always perfect at it. And I always say, like, I don't have a perfect program, but I have an honest program. And that honesty starts with my plate every breakfast. I take pictures of my food. I send it to my sponsor and I send it to my sponsees because I have to be transparent with my food. It's so important for me because I am a liar. And the number one thing that I love to lie about is my food. And so if I'm taking a picture of it and I'm sending it out, there's no hidden agenda. There's no hidden, there's no secrets. I don't have any secrets with my food. I don't really have any secrets in general, but I definitely do not have any secrets with my food. If there is something that I feel an itch or whatever, I talk about it, because the secrets will kill me. They will send me back into relapse in a flash, and that's really what was happening. When I did relapse, a year ago, almost 2 years ago, I was still taking pictures and I was, but like I had forgotten my food scale at I went to a different house for work and I forgot my food scale. And let me tell you, my brain lit up like it was the 4th of July. Like, whoo, ding, 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 ding. We can eat as much as we want today. And that's exactly what I did. And now I told right away, I got honest about it, everything, but there was still this like thing inside of me that it was like, even though this was abstinent food, I know that it was compulsive overeating. I know that it was not sober behavior, for me. I like the term sober. I like the term sobriety. I am in sobriety. I am sober with food. There's nothing sexy in my food plan at all. I love my food. Don't get me wrong. I love my food. I love what I eat. And I enjoy my food, and that is fine. But there's nothing that I'm saying at the end of it, like, how can I incorporate that a couple more times today? Or how can I manipulate that a little bit different or whatever? Like, I eat my food and I'm done. And I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for the food neutrality that I have today. That is something that I have never had in this program. In the 20 years that I have been in this program, I've never had food neutrality. I've never been able to look at other people's food and not want it. I've never been able to be around people eating. Is that five? Or is that okay? Thank you. And I've never been able to be around other people's food and not want to eat it, or cook food that is not mine and not want to eat it. That is not my life today. My life, I have food neutrality today, and I always heard that word but never understood it. And I do, and I'm so grateful for that. I'm so grateful for that. I'm so grateful that I don't have the chatter of I want what's not mine. And I have I'm from Illinois, so and I have relationships with people all around the United States because of this program, because of Zoom. And I've gotten to meet so many people at the birthday party, and these are people who I talk to on a regular basis, who know my business, who know what's going on in my food, who know, I mean, like I don't have secrets, and I don't have, and I share what's going on. Because if I don't, I'll die. I will die. For so long when I was in relapse, it was just like nobody wants to hear that, or nobody cares, or whatever. My disease would always talk to me and just beat down of like just sit there and be quiet. And it, because the quieter I kept, then the noisier it could be. And so I am very, I talk about what's going on, whether it's, I got plumbing issues and it's embarrassing, and the plumber's gonna cost too much money, and what are we gonna do, and blah, 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 whatever it is, like I don't care, because it just it's not that big of a deal. One of the things that has really changed in the last 5 years is the relationship that I have with my higher power. Someone in this program says God is everything or God is nothing. And I really have to look at it that way. I don't think I did that in the beginning. And I really feel too that I have a lot more of the God with skin. My people are, are my God with skin. They're the ones that are, constantly, the voices that I hear in my head, and instead of the disease voice, which I'm very appreciative of. So like when I have a situation going on, I can say, where's my higher power in this? Where is, how, am I trying to fix, manage, and control this? Or because I love to fix, manage, and control. And so am I doing that, or am I giving it to my higher power? And so that is something that I would have to say that I do more today than I have in a long time. And the pause, I can pause a lot easier now. I always say, like, I get in trouble with my mouth either by eating something or yelling at someone. So the pause is extremely important for me, and because I can definitely be destructive and say not nice things. And people at my kids have even said, like, well, you don't talk to people in your meetings like that. I mean, they call me out on it. They call me out on it. So does my husband, and I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. Call me out on it, because I want to change. This program is about change. And if I'm not changing on the inside, doesn't matter if I change on the outside. Doesn't matter. I'm in here because my mind is messed up. So, I'm doing everything I can to change and grow. And I always, and someone always said, like, nothing happens in your comfort zone. So if I'm uncomfortable, then I'm changing and growing in my program. If I'm comfortable, then I'm probably resting on my laurels. So, I just, it's one day at a time. And I hope that, somebody got something out of it. Like I said, it's just if you're new, stick around. It is possible. Miracles do happen here. They really do. With that, I pass.